It's episode 164 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events. But who are we kidding?
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films A Quiet Place, Beirut, Isle of Dogs.
You were
never really here.
No.
We're talking about Infinity
War. Yeah!
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe. Or head over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. And Matt King's here.
Yeah, I am.
To discuss Justice League.
Yes.
Wait. No.
Well, we can compare it and contrast.
I can't believe Superman died in Infinity War. Oh, shit. Sorry, spoilers. I can't.
Is that pre-snap or post-snap? Because that makes a difference.
It does, yeah.
All I know is, no matter what the snap is, they've got the power.
Oh, snap.
They've got the power. Welcome, Matt.
What's up, man?
It's been a while since we've had an episode because I'm in a play, and it's kept me busy. And it's almost done. So, more episodes coming your way, maybe? We'll see. Our next one will probably be Deadpool. Unless we want to do one about those movies I just mentioned that we never got to talk about.
Yeah, Deadpool's a couple weeks away, I guess.
That's a few weeks away. Because Avengers was supposed to be this weekend.
That's right.
And then Deadpool was 2 weeks, and then Solo's after that. Solo, I watched a featurette that they just released yesterday. Solo's looking good. I think it's gonna be good. I'm hoping, fingers crossed. But it looks good. Looking forward to that one.
You think he'll die?
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, eventually.
Well, we know Chewie's gonna die. Yeah. Oh, because I saw it in the trailer. Like, he's headed straight for that rock.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, he's done. He's
dead.
Yeah.
We'll talk about expectations.
Yeah. Do you really think Beep is dead in Infinity War? No. So let's just what news is going on? Infinity War made all the money in the world this weekend. 258 domestically.
It's just to say we will be talking about spoilers because it would appear that everyone has seen this movie.
Yeah, right.
Based on the box office numbers,
it's the number one domestic opening of all time. It topped The Force Awakens, which was at what?
247.
247.
Change. Yeah.
So it made $11 million more. And to me, though, the bigger surprise is that Black Panther was still number 5 at the box office this weekend.
I mean, it's not that big a surprise when you look at what the box office has had over the past few weeks.
It just passed The Last Jedi in gross.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Then an origin movie for a superhero can outdo
the eighth movie in the Star Wars.
But $638 million or whatever is insane worldwide. In one weekend.
Yeah, one weekend.
That is nuts.
It is nuts. It's crazy.
It's almost $200 million more than the first Thor movie made in its entire run.
It's
completely unsurprising here.
Yeah, well, we didn't have to tell you, right?
But you must admit, he was one of the best parts of the movie.
Do I have to admit that?
The new one?
I don't know that I have to admit that.
We'll get to that.
I love Thor in this one.
Yeah, I did too. But the gross is crazy.
The gross is gross.
And it hasn't opened in China yet.
Yeah.
They're not big.
Or Saudi Arabia.
Or
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Shut up. What else is going on? Marvel still has not announced Phase 4 yet. Speculation's running rampant. And
I think it's going to be called We Really Just Don't Give a Shit About the TV Series Anymore. Fuck them. I think that should be the title of the
Phase 4. We do what we want.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Like, what do you do with Daredevil now? And I'm not even thinking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, because that might not even get renewed by ABC.
But there's also like Runaways.
Do they take place in the Marvel Universe?
Supposedly.
Or is it just the Marvel TV Universe?
Well, I mean, they're all supposed to take place in the same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so half the Runaways are gone.
Either way, a lot of people lost their job.
Let's hope Danny Rand was among those
That's the promo for Iron Fist 2 is just nobody. Yeah. It's just nothing there.
It just flakes away, and then there's nothing.
All right, so let's talk about Infinity War, because there's really nothing else to talk about. But watch Westworld, it's back. Spoilers. We're just going to say spoilers right from the get-go. But we can give some non-spoiler impressions of the movie before we get into the spoilers. Agreed?
Sure. Yeah, agreed.
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 This movie sucks.
May.
What'd you say?
May.
Yeah, all those in favor of horsewhipping Homer Simpson?
Who wants to ride over the Cactus Patch? Me. No. Oh, 4-1. Woo!
It was good. I liked it a lot. Thanos is the best villain, I would say, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's great. Fair. It really is his movie. And Josh Brolin does a great job. The CGI on Thanos is fantastic. He looks like Josh Brolin with a nutsack on his face.
Yeah.
And I liked how they...
Grimace,
that was the best. Hey, Grimace! I liked how they kind of magnetoed him up as far as his motivation, because I was explaining to Dirty A about his motivation in the book, and it's really silly in the book. It's really, really dumb.
Love is never silly.
If you got to murder a trillion people, yeah, it is. So,
when you're in love with a concept.
Yes, right. Now, if they made
personified.
It,
yes.
If they made it Kate Blanchett, I would have been kind of on board with that if they brought her back and made her. But I liked.
In hindsight, I think they did it exactly.
Oh yeah, yeah. I liked what they did with him a lot. Yeah. The whole cast is really great. Everybody does a really good job. My only beef with that is that I wanted more from the pairings, from the characters. Like, I wanted to see more of Cap and Black Widow and them and the Guardians and Thor. And, you know, I wanted to see more of that stuff, which we'll talk about as we get into it. But overall, I mean, it was really, really good. Ending's a bit of a downer. It sets the stage for Avengers 4, which should be interesting to see what happens there.
I mean, to be fair, whatever happened was going to set the stage for Avengers 4.
That's true. But I mean, because they did film them back to back, this one more so than any of the other ones. Usually it's Avengers and then they go off and do their own shit again and then they come back for Avengers later, like a few years later. Not this time. So, thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was overly long. I didn't feel like I was in there an extended amount of time. I wasn't looking at my watch or wondering what time it was.
I was, because I saw it at 11 p.m. and I was like, God damn, it's almost 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. If anything, I thought it was rushed with the way it played out. And I feel like we already talked about this,
right.
You and I, that they should have done it differently in terms of how Thanos collected the Infinity Stones. But I mean, it's a good movie. We'll get into that later. But it's a very good movie.
Yeah.
I can see why it's drawing the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I don't think it's wrong to say that Thanos is already the best villain in the Marvel Universe. It's normally you want that to sort of sink in over time and then kind of look back and say, like, yeah, he was the best out of all these. But
that also...
I mean, it's not that a bar has been set so damn high.
Right. That also shows how weak a lot of the villains are in the MCU.
But, I mean, you always say that, but there's a lot of great villains. I mean, look at Killmonger.
Right.
I mean, that was the last movie that was out.
Yeah, they've been getting better, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, Winter Soldier. It's some stiff competition, and he immediately was just... went straight to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And this had to be Thanos' movie, and it was, and he nailed it. If he had been even mediocre, the movie would have suffered.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I thought it was great, and it's easily the most emotionally affecting movie that Marvel's ever made.
I'm not sure I can buy into that, but I can't necessarily think of an example. I wasn't crazily emotionally affected by the movie.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but we can talk about that.
Okay, so we'll say spoilers from now on, going forward. See you at the end of the episode if you don't want spoilers.
Doug's an asshole.
What?
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, basically, the movie, we're not going to, you know, trudge the whole plot, but...
I mean, synopsis is pretty simple.
Yeah,
Thanos... down to its basics.
Thanos shows up, collects the Infinity Stones, and wreaks havoc.
Yeah, ten years in the making of the MCU of getting to this point.
Now, what we talked about beforehand is that you felt, and I felt this too, I think I may have mentioned this to you too, is that... in order to build him up more than they have. I mean, because we've only seen glimpses of him. And he's just some guy sitting in a chair. You know, you're just like, all right, great. But to build him up, maybe what they should have done is use some of those after credit scenes to have him start collecting the stones.
Yeah, build up some good faith, if you will, amongst the audience on who this guy is and how bad he is.
Right.
Instead of basically... You know, it's set up, he spent his whole life working to this moment, and in 2 days he's got all the stones. Okay. It was just too rushed for me to... It was too easy. He got them all too easily within the realm of this one movie. I would have preferred to have seen it spread out over this 10-year period that they played along with, and then, you know, have him need a hand, two or three more in this movie to collect.
Well, the ones on Earth, for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe probably the Soul Stone.
I sort of buy into the story theory that there's a reason that he had to wait as long as he did. He waited until Odin was dead, the Ancient One was dead, people like Ego gone.
Oh, sure.
So basically anybody that could stop him.
Okay, and that's feasible, but mention that in the movie. There's a reason why he needed to wait.
I'll also say this, though, about your point. These stones are so incredibly powerful just by themselves that I think it gets progressively easier to get all of the stones.
The more you have, the easier it is.
How, I mean, to get the Tesseract away from Loki with the power stone already in his possession, it's, you know, Loki's not going to stop him. Now he's got two. And as Bruce Banner says at the beginning, he's already the most powerful person.
Well, and that's, we'll get to that later, but that's actually why I liked the ending the way it did, because I was like, please don't tell me they're actually going to have a quote-unquote battle with him now, because that's not possible.
Not possible. Right. No.
Right. So at least that didn't happen. It's just like he just came down and...
It's like, yank.
Drop the hammer, if you will.
Yeah. They said before the movie came out that they were going to establish Thanos as the biggest, baddest villain in the universe in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
And they did.
Because he shows up and...
Beats the shit out of Hulk.
Beats the absolute fuck out of the Hulk in like 2 seconds.
Right.
And beats him so badly that the Hulk is scared.
Yeah, he won't even come out. Yeah.
So they take what is the biggest, strongest... unless you ask Thor, Avenger, put him up against Thanos, and Thanos makes him look like a little kid, and just beats him down.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna get—I mean, we're already in spoiler territory. So, and then immediately turns around and kills the main villain from the first Avengers movie.
Right. Yeah.
Just by strangling him and right in front of his brother,
breaks his neck. Yeah.
Breaks his neck and gets the Space Stone and. Yeah, that's the first 5 minutes of the movie. That's after he has killed half the Asgardians.
And that's hopefully a question that they'll answer eventually. Where did the other half go? Where are they? Because we know Valkyrie's not dead. Korg's probably not dead.
Probably not Korg. Probably, well, hopefully not Korg. Valkyrie, I would say, is definitely alive.
But, yeah.
Well,
in theory, was, I was about to say, in theory, you know, you don't really know
know because they were that was all random on camera. But pre-snap, she was. I think she was alive. Let's hope Korg is. Meek, I don't know.
But, Meek lives forever.
We know that Heimdall is not.
I mean, to be fair, it doesn't matter. They're all coming back.
Yeah.
So
I don't think so.
I don't think Loki is. I think Loki's dead for good.
In interviews,
he's been kind of like
kind of the end. I understand that from an actor's perspective, but from a character's perspective, it's pretty fucked up to be like, oh, we'll bring these guys back, but fuck everybody else. We're gonna leave. You can stay dead.
It makes sense in the story though, because this all happened. All of these deaths that we're talking about.
Oh, right, before. Right. You're right. Yeah. Loki was killed pre. Although, to be fair, if you have the time stone, none of that should matter.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the time stone,
right? You can go back with or just call Superman in to spin the universe around.
I mean, or if you have the time stone and then just give it up without a fight, and then you know,
right? Oh! Did you want this? Here you go.
Why didn't you just ask for it?
but again, that's explained.
Right.
At least. That's explained.
I know.
But I
you didn't say the magic word. And what is the magic word? Doctor Strange. Please.
I mean, the Russos,
their formula works.
I think they've now, as though they needed to be proven anymore, but I mean, they started out with Winter Soldier, followed up a Civil War, and now this.
They're juggernauts of this genre for sure.
Yeah.
They know how to put this on camera.
Yeah. They can do a superhero movie. Yeah. But they promised that, you know, the deaths in this movie were going to be permanent. Because otherwise they have no weight. What I think they
We already know that. I was going to say that they definitely. However they spun that was a little different.
Yeah, that was not... Well, they couldn't really talk about it then, but it's right. Like... Basically, anything before the snap, I think, is they're done. Right. Heimdall, dead.
Gamora, done.
Gamora, done. Loki, done. I think they won't be coming back. Everybody else?
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
That's when I say problem, it's a really, really good movie, so it's not really a problem. But this is not even specific to this movie, but this is one of my problems around the whole gauntlet with the stones anyway. When you say something's infinitely powerful, if you don't put any kind of guidelines around it, if it's not restrained by anything, it's hard to understand why anything would be permanent. Or could be permanent if you put no guidelines around it, or no restraints around the power that it has.
Well, I think it's important who is wearing it.
Oh no, right. But I'm saying, let's say eventually this is going to fall into good hands, and then all they should have to do is snap. Let's go back 10 years.
Unless
okay.
it falls into a crazy person's hand before then.
Well, that's true.
Which is kind of what happened in
the
comics.
Book.
It's like
Nebula. Gets
Nebula gets it, and she does turn back time a little bit, but then she's insane. So it's not a great.
Gotcha.
Thing. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough story to tell, but I thought they nailed it. Because you are dealing with something that it has all of the powers of the universe, and you know, a guy that now, I don't know. He is a god by the end of this. I mean, what else?
Oh, sure.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, anything he wants. And apparently what he wanted to do was just sit in a little hut in Wakanda and
yeah, he just wants to sit in his farm.
Just chill.
Look, that's what he said.
That's what he said he was going to do. Yeah. That's what he said he was going to do. He did.
Called a shot.
That's what I was going to do. But no, so the first thing that caught my attention in this movie that I really did not like was the immediate sideline of Vision. Just immediately took him out of the picture. And that pissed me off because I wanted to see him kick some ass.
Oh.
I mean, he was the one who I felt would be able to hold his own against not a fully, clearly, because he has one of the stones. So not a fully gauntleted Thanos, but be able to take on Thanos. And then within 5 minutes, they're like, oh, I mean, he didn't die, but, you know, it's like, oh, well.
He's fucked up.
He's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, it's the first time he's gone up against anybody that really has the power to hurt him.
But that's the thing. He didn't go up against. My problem is it wasn't even a fight. It was just like he's walking down the street and then
he gets shanked in the back.
And that was it. And that was it. It's just like, fuck, man. I didn't get to see Vision fight.
Not to the end anyway.
Yeah.
And he was still wounded. But
I liked Scarlet Witch a lot in this movie.
I was surprised at how much she had to do.
Well, that's too bad.
I liked her a lot in this movie.
Well, it's because she finally got to show off some fucking powers of some kind.
Yeah, that's true. Thor was great. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Thor was
great. Him paired with Rocket. And
oh, that was fucking hilarious. Rocket giving him the eyeball was fucking hilarious.
Oh my god,
that was
great.
I might have watched that first.
I'd hide it up my ass. The one of the greatest parts in the whole movie is when he comes back to Earth with Rocket and Groot, and he says, "This is my friend Tree," and then Groot goes, "I am Groot," and Cap goes, "I am Steve Rogers."
Because he's got that such a sincere look on his face, I am Steve.
Like
Rogers.
This is like a first contact story.
I like the introduction between Strange and Peter too. Yeah. He's like. I'm Peter Parker. I'm Doctor Strange. Oh, then I'm Spider-Man.
He has his mask on.
He's got, that makes me Spider-Man.
He's made up.
That was. Did y'all notice the what I considered a nod to Batman and Robin old school when he said, "Are you my what is he your ward?"
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah, that was funny.
Well, at some point there was they turned something into bats.
Yes.
At some point.
Doctor Strange.
I
thought it was butterfly.
That was later. That was later.
The Final Titan?
No. Was it the Final Titan? It might have been early in the Fighting Titan. There's something that turns like it's like a cloud of bats or something.
You're right. I know what you're talking about. I didn't think it was bats, though.
It might be something else.
Because
they're
lighter color.
Sure.
I just assumed it wasn't bats. But,
He did do that butterfly thing to Thanos. He did do that. But there was earlier than that. There was this big cloud of bats. You'll just have to go see it a third time and see it.
And you know, who says Thanos isn't playful? With the bubbles.
Right, the bubbles.
It's fun, everybody.
Yeah. Before he drags his daughter up to murder her.
I like you. Gone. I thought the Thor-Rocket pairing was outstanding.
Yeah.
Actually, Thor with the Guardians in general.
The whole thing was really good.
I love all their interactions.
I mean, I love the Guardians anyway. Yeah.
Like, Star-Lord and Thor going back and forth.
I loved the Guardians.
Right.
Past tense. Yes, because past tense. there's only one, I guess you could, if you consider Nebula a Guardian,
one,
then there's
maybe two
left.
Guardians left.
Guardian of the Galaxy.
Yeah, so let's get so what happens is if for some reason you're listening to this and you haven't seen it and you want to be spoiled completely, what Matt keeps talking about is the snap is that Thanos wins. In the comic book, it's a very iconic panel where he snaps his fingers with the gauntlet and then it wipes out half the life in the universe. And dramatized it in the movie is that he snaps and then people start to like dissolve into like ash basically, and it got people like Scarlet Witch, it was
Panther,
that's not what I call him, Falcon, Winter Soldier, the billion-dollar Panther,
Groot, Drax,
all the Guardians except for Rocket.
Star-Lord.
All of them, and Spider-Man. Who is going to be filming his next movie in 3 months. So good luck on that sticking.
This was a very small quip of mine. Is that the whole you snap your fingers and half the universe disappears? I would see that more as a rapture type of thing. Like, they're just gone. Instead, it's like 5 seconds, someone disappears here. Another 5 minutes, you got people disappearing over here.
Oh, and Nick Fury, too. Nick Fury and Maria Hill.
And then also, apparently it hurt. And like, it was painful, whereas I just thought Thanos was literally ceasing them to be. And then that brings into the question, how are they remembered if they just were ceased to be?
Oh, I guess I didn't see it as, like, they just never existed.
Well, because he said he was merciful. He was trying to be merciful. He wasn't going to cause pain. But yet, you saw Peter.
Well, he considered, ow, this hurts. He considers mercy to be...
Well, that's true. You know, long-term mercy. Yeah.
Now, there's different theories on what happened to them. One theory is that they're gone, they're dead. Soon to be back, probably. And another theory is that they're, like, in another dimension, which could be factored into...
They're going to show up this summer in Arrested Development.
Yep. Perhaps.
Yep.
Yeah, there's... Apparently, Tobias Funke is in the collector's collection. Yeah. I didn't see it. I was trying
as
to...
As the blue man.
Yeah. Oh, it's him as the blue man?
Yeah, him as the blue man. He's got the mustache. Okay.
Is it David Cross, or is it... Is it just somebody who looks like him?
I think it's probably someone... I don't know.
I missed it, so...
Well, in Civil War... They had the staircase.
Right, yeah.
They had the...
Oh, was that on the
yeah,
tarmac?
Yeah, the tarmac, they had the blue staircase. It didn't say blue, but the colors. And so this is their second nod to Arrested Development.
Because they were directors on Arrested Development, the Russos. Still one of the greatest comedies ever put on TV. So that's one theory is that they're in another dimension. Another theory is that they're dead. Now... The people who were left were basically the OG Avengers, which is basically subverting, as they said on Red Letter Media, on Half in the Bag. Yeah, in this movie, they subverted your expectations, but it actually went somewhere, as opposed to The Last Jedi, where they subvert your expectations and it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cap still alive, Iron Man, Thor.
Yeah. Strange died.
Hulk, yeah. Everyone. Oh, yeah, Strange is gone too, Doctor Strange.
Which he's the one, by the way, he was very instrumental in this.
Right.
Because he's the one who kind of set what was going to happen in play in the movie.
Yeah, he started the end game.
Yeah, I love that scene where he's just like, because basically what happens is the scene set up where Peter Quill, or Star-Lord, Tony Stark, Spider-Man, and Strange are all fighting Thanos. And honestly, I think everyone expected Iron Man to die.
Yeah.
And he pretty much was dead. And then Strange basically saves his life and tells him, you know, there's a reason for this. He set up where earlier in the scene, Thanos had been projecting and going through some 4 million iterations of
14 million, how they could win,
and only one of them worked out where they won. Then he told Tony Stark right before he perished, he said, you know, this is the end game. Because Tony Stark said, why did you do this? He said, we're in the end game now.
So there's different theories about what's going to happen.
So Strange isn't an asshole doctor after all.
Apparently not. Huh. And that was...
He's just an asshole.
That's what was funny, because Dirty A and I watched Half in the Bag on Red Letter Media before we were doing this, and they brought up a great point about Doctor Strange, because I kind of felt the same way. They were like, I watched his movie and didn't give a fuck about him, but in Thor Ragnarok, when he shows up for that one little scene, and in this... It's like, that's pretty much all you need for Doctor Strange. You didn't really need to do a whole goddamn movie where you waste Rachel McAdams as a, you know, and...
Yes, they did, because it made money.
Exactly, right.
And so, ergo, they did.
Now, the Nerdist had a theory on where this is going to go from here. And they referenced an Avengers story that happened, I think, in the late 90s, possibly the early 2000s, by Kurt Busiek. And Roger Stern, I think, wrote it. So Kurt Busiek and Carlos Pacheco was the artist. And it was called Avengers Forever, where the Avengers are fighting a different enemy. It's Immortus. But, you know, and they go through time and pick out all these different Avengers to help them in the coming battle. And the reason why they said this might happen is because there have been some behind... Because they shot Avengers 4 back-to-back, essentially, with this one. And there have been some behind-the-scenes photos where you see present day Tony Stark with Ant-Man talking with original Avengers Steve Rogers. So why they have to go get another Steve Rogers? Well, we read on Wikipedia, because I didn't read the... I have a couple issues of it, but I didn't read the whole thing of the series. But because I was just never a big Avengers guy, comics-wise. So, but there was like a line about like how Steve Rogers has like no confidence and stuff like that, and they had to get like a different version of him to like restore
right.
him.
Right, they probably just needed to go back in time that far with him to set things in motion for the future as opposed to snagging him up. They probably needed to leave him in his timeline to set things in motion.
Right.
So I like that theory. I don't think it's a time travel theory, though. Or I don't think it's going to be time travel in Avengers 4. I think Ant-Man and Wasp is going to introduce the idea of multiverse.
A multiverse.
And I think they're going to pick people, if that's true, I think they're going to pick people from different universes.
Because they can do that through the quantum realm.
Yeah,
they
go down through the quantum realm. Right. I think they might grab people from different universes.
There we go. Sure.
That way they don't have to use something like the Time Stone, which they don't have.
Right.
And there's no other means of time travel in the MCU to date.
Right.
But the multiverse would allow them to sort of piece together all these different types or versions of the characters.
Could we get Wolverine?
I mean, that's an easy way to get them, but I don't think we will, but that's something they could use in the future. So
could we possibly get Doctor Doom?
That'd be fun to play around with, too. If you get,
well, that's
you
how you get them
slightly
in.
Slightly different personalities in each one from a different multiverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many possibilities to go with that one, but...
But yeah, so that's and then at the very end of the movie, in the post-credits scene, Nick Fury gets dusted, but just as he's about to go the way of the dodo, he clicks this weird-looking communicator thing.
It's a beeper.
Well, it's a beeper.
Let's call it what it is.
But it looks like alien design.
The Captain Marvel movie
from the 90s.
It's from the 90s.
Right.
So.
That tech would have been developed then and just upgraded.
Right. And so what happens is Captain Marvel's logo appears on the screen. So hopefully we're going to get the answer to where the fuck she's been all this time.
Yeah.
Probably in space, but you never know.
Space.
Washing her hair.
Wow. Like a woman.
that's the go-to stereotypical thing they do when they don't want to... I'm washing my hair.
Get out of a Kree-Skrull war?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what she's been doing.
Probably. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. The other stuff that was in the movie... Because you were talking about the emotional impact of the movie. I felt like, while the whole Gamora thing was very sad, I felt that they... might have wanted to do a better job in the Guardians movies kind of building up that relationship as opposed to just the one flashback in here.
That's where you and I differ. I think they did a good enough job with Peter and Gamora in the two Guardians movies to where I bought the fact that they were really close. And
I was talking more about Gamora and Thanos.
I thought you were talking about like the
no,
the
I was talking more
Gamora
about,
thing.
No, but, I was talking more about Gamora and Thanos.
But for me, that just as it did with Gamora, that worked out in our favor because you don't realize until that moment that he cares that much for her, right?
Yeah.
And then because you don't even see that coming because you don't, and then you know, Red Skull throws it on. He's like,
He's
not crying for himself. He's just like, mother, he doesn't love me.
Yeah.
Red Skull shows up in this. Red Skull, but it's not Hugo Weaving.
Nope.
It looks like Hugo Weaving.
Sounds like Hugo Weaving.
It's the guy who did the voice was Ross Marquand, who is on The Walking Dead. He is, I forget the character's name, but he's one of the guys that lived in the town, Alexandria.
Now's when I need to throw out that nobody cares.
I'm just saying. But apparently he's a great impressionist. He can do all these different impressions, so they got him to come in and do the voice of Red Skull. So
sounded just like him.
It did, and
the Red Letter Media guys call it Skeletor.
Yeah, they call it.
One guy goes, "I didn't know who that was. I thought it was just Skeletor."
Like, oh, you're merging He-Man and Marvel now?
That's a twist.
But the other twist is that DC actually owns the comic book rights to He-Man, apparently.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're doing across... He's going to show up in some DC comics soon.
Really? The other thing that... one thing that bothered me... well, you know, you mentioned the Peter and Gamora thing, and I've said this in the Guardians reviews we did. I'd never really bought into their relationship personally. To me, it always felt like, I'm the hero, and she's the hot girl, and I got to get with her. That's just what it felt like to me. Just because...
You heartless bastard.
No, I'm not heartless, because I felt more emotion about the Vision and Scarlet Witch and then their relationship.
Well, that was also emotional.
Like, yeah, that was
that actually hit me harder the second time than the first.
Like, yeah. Is that what all that blubbering was onto my left?
Because it's just so sad. He's like the guy. Like I thought Paul Bettany and Lizzie Olsen did an outstanding job.
Yeah, they did.
This movie.
Yeah, they were great.
Because that scene where he's like, you know, it's time. We don't, you know, we have to do this now. And he's basically telling her she has to kill him. And it's not fair that she has to be the one to do it. But you know, she's the only one that can do it.
Yeah.
And then it didn't matter anyway.
And that's the thing. It's like she goes through this crushing moment. Anyway. She's like, you know.
And then she's like, no.
I lost the love of my life. But now, you know, at least everybody's saved. And then Thanos is like, nope. And then he like basically dials back time and then kills him again right in front of her.
Thanks, Doctor Strange.
And just like tosses his lifeless body aside.
He looked cool as shit. He was all great. Cool as shit. My friend Tom was like, he goes, I wonder if that was an homage to Transformers the movie when Optimus Prime dies and he turns all gray and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm like, it could be a foreshadowing to White Vision that comes
later.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I think he's going to turn into that. But
the West Coast Avengers Vision.
He's just like, it's just so, the whole movie is just brutal. And Thanos is brutal. And,
yeah, he is.
But that's why... Like I was saying earlier, I liked the ending that it was just so fun. It was just so final. Like once Thanos came down, I was like, "Well, at this point, there's no battle to be had.
No,
like he's just going to come down, and that's what he did. He just came down, and was just like, boom, boom, boom.
Well, the
it's
best,
done.
The best though was that.
Now, real quick question, because I was debating over what was said when Thor hurdles his axe at him.
Right.
Did he say you should have aimed for my head or my hand?
Head. Okay. You should have gone for the head. Because he would have cut his head off and then that would...
Wow, if he cut his hand off, though, the gauntlets...
No, that's true, too. That's true, too. But, no, one of my favorite parts is you know, as usual with me in these Avengers movies, it has to do with Captain America, is when that look on Thanos' face when... Steve's got the glove and he's holding him back and he's got this look like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Well but it was great because it wasn't fear. It was just more like annoyance or wonder. Like, oh, look, this guy actually,
And
then,
And then he punches him in the fucking head and knocks him out.
It's like, okay.
Good show.
Because as Thanos, you know, demonstrates, he's respectful of these people that are battling for their... For the universe, because he also feels he is battling for the universe.
Right. Yeah. That's why.
It's kind of like the old school Civil War thing where, you know, you're respectful of the person you've got to kill because they're just happen to be on the opposite side of you.
Right.
But they're doing the same thing. So, you know, he's that's what he says to was it Steve Rogers? That's what he says to Captain America.
Iron Man. He says to Iron Man.
That's what he says to Iron Man. He goes, I hope people remember you. Yeah. Like, I respect you, and I hope people remember you.
He also told Peter, or Star-Lord, that he liked him.
He did. He said, I like you.
That's what I meant.
And then took his girl.
That's what I meant by they Magneto'd him up in this, because, you know, of his... Because we didn't really talk about what his motivation is totally, is that he is very much... I forget what you would call it, like what you would label him as, who believes, like, you know, that we're going to run out of shit and, you know.
Realist?
Yeah, right. Yeah, sorry. Right. That's true. So basically Thanos is... You know, he's very logical about it and he reasons, you know, the resources of the...
Oh, wait, that's got to be logical.
Yeah.
The resources of the universe...
reason.
Yeah.
The resources of the universe are finite and, you know,
Left unchecked, life
just keeps on growing.
Because his backstory is this happened on his home planet.
Right, it happened on his home planet.
And so he basically took that one
He's basically a homicidal Jor-El.
He took that one example and extrapolated it out to what's going to happen in the whole universe.
Right. But it's like, you know, but when you look at our planet and what's happening, and, you know, people are looking down the road and, you know, you're like, he's kind of
it's like we talked about what they talked about in the Red Letter Media. It's like, right. Well, if he can do anything with that gauntlet, why doesn't he just make peace amongst the universe and in infinite resources instead of taking out that's half true. The population?
That's well, true. It's not going to, I mean, he would well, also have because, to keep because, the population.
Well, because that, but I think that's more where the psychotic part yeah. comes in.
Right, yeah. right.
He, yeah. he just doesn't. See that point right, of view, right. and or give any credence to it,
right. because that's what he was doing the whole time. Is he would go to worlds, and because they showed on Gamora's planet, and then he would split them in half, kill right. half, and then the rest.
And
would
like
live.
He said, in his mind, it was this great, you know, it was a success right. because hey, look, there are no hungry children on this world anymore.
Look what I did.
Yeah. They're living in peace. I did them a favor, you know, yeah. by killing half of the planet.
Yeah, but it's a lot like Magneto in the X-Men series, where like you know Magneto's like. You know, I've seen this before. They're gonna enslave us and all this stuff. And then you're like, Magneto's kind of got a point. You know, like, he's crazy, but he's kind of got a point.
Yeah. He needs to be walking around the universe singing that Disney song from Moana.
You're welcome.
What can I say? You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Dwayne Johnson is Thanos. The other thing that bothered, and again, this is because we talked about this. It's just a minor quibble with it, but. Thanos looks great, CGI wise. He looks great, great, great. It looks like I said, it looks like Josh Brolin.
Great bait.
Great bait.
But then you have his minions, the Black Order, and Proxima Midnight, especially. She looks good, but she looks a lot like a video game cutscene character. And then when they show her real up close, and then they cut to M'Baku and Okoye, who are real, real, real. Like there's like a disconnect there, and you're just like, eh. Like the one guy, what's the Black Dwarf? I guess is the big guy.
I call him Cull Obsidian in this one, but he was okay. In the comics. He's Black Dwarf. Like now he's Cull Obsidian.
See, he's like a monster, so he should be CGI and all this stuff. But it's like you look at like you know Proxima Midnight, who looks fairly human except for some stuff, and you're like, well, why don't they just?
Well, because she's got these eyes that are really far apart.
I didn't notice.
I'd say in comparison to Thanos, you could tell it's not the same.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
Who was the other guy? The main right hand.
Ebony Maw.
He was cool.
He was very cool.
But the problem I had with him was just his look. He looked a little because he called him Squidward, which was hilarious. But like he looked almost like a cartoon character to me. And I'm not saying it's limited to the Avengers movies. I'm not just picking out the Avengers movies because this has been happening in a lot of movies where there's a lot of CGI.
Steppenwolf.
Yes, exactly. He looked terrible, you know. And then, but also like BFG, Steven Spielberg's BFG. It's like that other giant movie that Bryan Singer did, where like the giants, like they look like they're cartoon characters in the thing, where they're supposed to look like they don't look real. Like say, like in Lord of the Rings, where like you know, like Gollum. Again, I always say, but Thanos comes close. Gollum is still for me like the gold standard. He looks like real, like that motherfucker was there with Elijah Wood. Right. I don't know where they found that creature. You know, it's a, but it's a small complaint. But it's like when you're watching it, and then they, like, that's when it was really jarring to me. Like when they showed her really up close, she's right there, and then they cut to M'Baku, who's a real human being. You're just like, huh? It's like, you're like, yeah.
I know what you mean. That part didn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. The worst CGI in the whole movie was at the end. Where
the whole thing turned red, and then those vines are coming. Although it's just
asleep. Banner was in the Hulkbuster. This was after the snap, and everybody's kind of like sitting around, like we were in the theater, just stunned and like not being able to talk. But in the background, you see Banner in the Hulkbuster, and you can almost see where it was like
the cut out of the head,
like sitting on.
Yeah.
You know,
could have been
CGI.
Anyone's post.
Could have been anybody.
There's a picture of Iron Man of Robert Downey Jr. That's going around. It's like a promo picture. Or something.
Oh, one that's on Titan.
It looks the same. Yeah. It's like yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't really in that suit. No.
you think Pepper got it?
No.
You don't think she's
no. She's not. Flaked? She's not because I know for a fact she's in the next movie.
Okay.
Well, I think she's.
Well, la-di-da isn't Tony the lucky one.
I think she's in the next movie. I know for a fact that Jon Favreau's in the next movie. Happy Hogan's in the next movie.
Well, unless they go back to that multiverse.
I just keep waiting for him to find her head in a box. Yeah. When is that going to happen?
So we haven't talked about the, for me, the most emotionally affecting scene in the whole movie. And
we're talking about Spider-Man.
We are talking about Spider-Man. I looked around at other people's reviews. I looked around at other websites. They all say the same thing, that the dialogue that Peter Parker gives and that Tom Holland performs at the end is just soul-crushingly sad. And it was awful. This is on Titan. This is after the snap, when everybody is starting to flake away, and there's this, like, at this point in the movie, the audience is just like, oh, because every time the camera centers on a character, you're like, oh shit, are they next?
Or I thought Cap was gonna go. Cap was done, but especially at the end when he goes, oh god, because the way he says it, I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
So that's why I thought the ending was perfect, way they did it, the presentation of this after the snap, because it kept the audience on edge.
I get cinematically why they did it. I just, realistically, I'm thinking, why did it happen this way?
You could also argue that they all happen concurrently.
But
anyway,
there's no reason to wonder that. I just wonder.
Well, as far as Peter goes, it's like someone made this good point. He's got spider sense, so he can feel it coming before anybody else. So that was why he had time to sort of give some dialogue. And I was a wreck. I mean, it was
very sad.
It's because he's this teenage kid.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's scared out of his mind, and he's pleading with Tony Stark.
It's only the second battle he's ever. Well, right. Third, I guess. You count Civil War.
Yeah. He's in over his head. Every, scared out of his mind.
Every scene up till now, save one scene with Vulture. He's more been in wonder of everything happening as opposed to fear.
Yeah.
And this is the first time where you see him.
Except for that scene when he was buried under the rocks.
That's what I'm talking about. Every other scene, it's just been him in like woohoo mode. Like, look at me, what I can do, and I just want to be an Avenger. And this is the first time where it really hits him like, this is real shit, and I'm done. And
because
I don't want to be done.
When you're a 15, 16 year old kid, you don't think about your death. I mean, it's so far in the future, you don't even think about it. But now he's confronted with this. He knows it's coming. Like, it's right around the corner. Right. And he's pleading for his life with Tony Stark.
It was very sad.
And Tony's like, he doesn't know what to do. He's his kid's mentor, basically. He's like a father figure. And he's like dying in front of him. And
he's like, don't worry, I'll take care of Aunt May for you.
Yeah.
I saw one review or something like that they said the only thing they wanted from that scene is for him to say something about Aunt May before he died.
You only have so much time.
I mean, he's so scared. I don't.
Yeah, he's. But he only, if you're in what the fuck do I know? If you're in that situation, you're probably only thing you're worried about that in that moment is your life.
Yeah.
You'll never do.
A lot of people call for their mother, and she's his mother, basically. So
she's his aunt.
Aunt. It's Aunt May.
Aunt May. Not Mother May.
I think that's nitpicking to the highest order.
It was very emotional. Oh no, it was great. Fantastic. It was great.
And you can see it all over his face.
Yeah. It was
regardless of what he says.
It was very, very, very touching. Very sad. Catch Tom Holland in Spider-Man 2 next July.
Okay, no, I get that point. But here's the thing. I don't care that everybody knows that these characters are coming back. It's all about it's how this was handled and the delivery of it. And the fact that it made sense in the story.
Right.
You know, nobody goes into superhero movies believing that they're going to lose in the end. It's all about how they get there and how they win. And this was a story about superheroes losing. And it's a story about sacrifice. And, you know, both the sacrifice on the part of the villain and sacrifices on the parts of the heroes.
Do you mean it's a story about failure?
Maybe. What are we talking about?
Is it a story about failure?
Just say yes.
Yes.
Then why didn't they go to an alien casino in this movie?
So anyway, that's
the big thing that everyone says when they defend The Last Jedi. They're like, but it's a movie about failure.
Oh, I've never heard that defense.
Oh, you never heard that defense? This is how you do it right. That's how you do it wrong.
No.
So.
Yeah, it's man, it's the only movie I can think of in recent memory where at the end of the movie, the audience was just like silent. And, you know,
12 Years a Slave.
Well, that's a completely different read.
Nobody was clapping.
That is an interesting comparison, Doug.
Oh, he's in another movie where it's silent at the end of the movie.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was silence. Because, again, subverted expectations. We all expected one Avenger to die.
Yeah.
Didn't expect necessarily half of them to just be gone.
Yeah.
Which is a lot different from the book. Because isn't it like in the book, like, pretty much only the Avengers are, like, untouched by the snap, basically?
No, like, it's funny enough, Hawkeye is one they show just go bink in the books. That's right. And, there are
A lot of them are still alive.
I'm in the theater, and yeah, the very end is quiet. But as it's happening, you basically hear, "Oh no, not him! Oh no!"
Yeah, they're like gasping, especially when Black Panther, flaked away. I was shocked. I was like, "Well, they're not going to kill." Ooh, okay. Spider-Man is. Ooh, you know, Mantis really? Oh, okay. Drax, everybody, yeah. Groot, fucking Groot. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Groot dies twice.
Not even adult Groot.
No.
Teenage Groot. He wasn't even full.
And
like,
actually,
the Spider-Man of Groots.
That's right. They kicked it off in another painful way, which is Bucky going, Steve? Right. And then, you know, flicks.
And, yeah.
So he's the first one to go. In the
Steve loses both his best friends.
I can't
friends.
Remember. Did the arm go too, or did it clink to the
Yeah, room? No. It all goes. Okay. It all goes. That's why some people think that they're in another dimension.
Oh, I think they're in the Soulstone world. Like, it's... That they're all trapped in that Soulstone universe,
right? It's possible.
So I think
they're being hosted by Red Skull right now. He's like got dinner trays, yeah. Taking hors d'oeuvres.
Where's the captain?
So the comics, I think Doctor Strange is going to play sort of the Adam Warlock role from the Infinity Gauntlet story
from here on in,
because that's
which is
in that one. It, like Warlock is one that's been he was trapped in the Soulstone. But in being trapped in the Soulstone, he gathered information on Thanos' mind and his motivation. So he knows
Adam
him.
Warlock
and he
was a good guy.
Yeah.
By that point,
in the cause.
And he basically had to manipulate the whole event so they could get him out, right? Basically free him and defeat Thanos.
So he was kind of, with no conception of time and space, he was gaining a lot of knowledge and just waiting to find a way to get that knowledge out.
Yeah, he's basically like stuck in this alternate universe. Type of thing. And then so my guess is that all of these people have been sort of taken into the Soulstones universe.
And Strange likely saw that coming.
Yeah.
He knew who he needed to be in that universe with him, and he knew who needed to be left behind.
If he saw 14 million possibilities and one of them worked, then he saw the blueprint for how to beat Thanos.
Right.
And so that's what he set into motion.
Right.
Gave him the time stone.
Right.
He knows all these people are going to flake away. So he's going down the one path to victory that they have, even though it means...
Was that the last...
You know,
was that the last stone he got, or was the soul stone the last one?
The mind stone.
The mind stone was the last one.
The mind stone.
From Vision.
From Vision. Oh, duh. Yeah. Oh, when he went to...
Yeah,
to
it was
Earth.
The second yeah. to last.
It was the second to last one. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he had the Power Stone before the movie even started.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. That's fine.
That's probably going to come from Guardians 3. They'll probably show Xandar what happened.
Yeah, Xandar's toast.
Well, at least half of it is.
That's true.
So he got that from Xandar
right.
off screen.
Right.
Yep.
He got the Reality Stone in Thor from Thor 2 from those... guys that kept it, right?
The collector
had it. I thought it was those evil elves that had it, or something.
They were trying to get it.
Okay,
right.
All right. So yeah,
and then in the post credit scene, Sif,
the collector
and,
had the Reality Stone.
Volstagg, yeah. Right? Took it to the collector.
Yeah.
The Mind Stone,
Vision.
Soul Stone, we know
was on that planet with the Red Skull.
Space Stone was the Tesseract from...
Yeah. Was the Tesseract.
Which was the first one we ever were introduced
and
to.
And the Time Stone was the Eye of Agamotto.
See, the Gamora scene was another one that was tough to watch. Because it was like... I love the way they set it up. Because they have that shot of... they're going to go back and show how Thanos got Gamora to begin with.
Right.
It's when he was killing half of the people
right.
in her world.
And he like had to turn her head. He's like, no, little one.
Yeah, she's trying to watch. And he's like, no, you know, pay attention to me. And he's teaching her, he's showing her this little knife trick where he
shiny
bounces.
Things.
And,
look at the shiny thing.
Showing this knife that he bounces on finger. And he's like, see, balance, perfectly balanced. That's what we're going for. But
as all things should be.
He walks away with Gamora by taking Gamora by the hand and sort of leading her off.
Right.
And then to get the Soul Stone, he has to kill something that he loves, and the only thing that he loves in the universe is Gamora.
Right.
And they, but it's a nice sort of wrap up to have him sort of take her by the hand again,
lead her off,
but this time chuck her off the side of a mountain. You know,
and it was it was a well played out scene for two reasons, because it equally did set up that he loved her. And how easy it was for him to do what he did, even though that was the one thing he loved.
Yeah.
What he loved even more was the idea that he had created in his head of how the universe should be.
He's obsessed with the idea that he has to save
and
the universe.
And he's like, I'm sorry, but I've set down a course that I can't change now. And just, whoop!
Yeah, he's basically like, I'm going to save the universe versus you. You know, I got to go with the universe, saving the universe.
Which is the opposite of what Captain America says.
This is another smaller, granular example of his bigger plan, right? No one person is greater than the whole idea, even if it's the only person he's ever loved.
Yeah.
Now, At the end of the movie, you see that Gamora, the child version of Gamora, is in the Soul Stone. At least I'm assuming that's where he was at that point.
It would seem so. That's
after he snaps, sucks him up, and he's kind of in that world. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that leaves the door open for her to come back, which I don't think they should do, because then it kind of cheapens it if she does. But
if anything, I think it's just a vision he sees.
But
she—it's a great exchange there. You know, she's like, "What happened? Or did you do it?" And he's like, "Yeah."
What did it cost you?
What did it cost you?
Everything.
It's
really good. I mean, it's really good.
Again, that's what makes him a great villain. Is he's multidimensional, right? Yeah. He's not just
borderline sympathetic.
He's not just. I'm evil and I'm going to do evil things.
But it's like I said, that's why like Magneto is great, because it's, you know, because you can see his point of view, you know, more so than say like Cassilius, who's just like, whatever, magic.
That's why I think they made the right choice to switch up his motivations and not. I want to impress Lady Death.
That other one is so comic booky and so silly that that would have been laughed off the screen. I think people are like, what the fuck? This is stupid. Now, of course, the one thing that is the ultimate thing that this movie does wrong is that when Thor comes back to Earth with Rocket and Groot, how do you not play Immigrant Song right there like they did in Ragnarok?
You mean the song that you didn't really know about?
Yes. Fuck off. And I'm going to cut that out again. Fuck you.
I'm going to put it back.
Yeah, sure you will.
Time Stone.
Yeah, I don't think that exists.
Yeah, sure it does. It's real.
That was a perfect opportunity.
That would have been a great
That would have been a perfect opportunity.
But, man, I don't know.
Boo! Boo!
That whole scene was great. Like, Thor and...
Oh, yeah. That was fantastic.
The new Stormbreaker.
I loved it when he...
It's called Stormbreaker! That's a little much.
Twisted in there. He's got Groot on the other side of him, and they're just, like, turning around.
Yeah. Oh, you mean Rocket?
I'm sorry. Rocket.
Yeah, Winter Soldier and Rocket.
Rocket.
Winter Soldier picks him up and they start shooting.
And Bucky, He's like, where can I get that gun? It's not for sale.
What's your arm?
I'm going to get that arm.
I'm going to get that arm.
But Peter Dinklage, he is in this. That was a big mystery as to who he was. And then, like, it was funny because the Russo's like, he's a well-known character. Some of that. Not really.
No.
Not really.
No,
he's one of the dwarves that, ironic because they're giants, but they're considered dwarves, and they were the ones who forged Mjolnir, and then they also make Stormbreaker for Thor, which is a very cool scene as well when he has to hold the iris open for the thing. That was cool. That's the thing with this movie is that like some things like the Guardians movies like got me like halfway there, but then when they go to the magic forge, so I'm like, this is way out there now. It was like way out there.
Well, they kept talking about the Heart of the Dying Star, Heart of the Dying Star, right. And then they show it.
Like what we talked about, Doug, is that this movie is like all the small scenes seem to be a lot better than the sum of all the parts together.
Mm.
Yeah. So, like, scene by scene, you enjoy it a lot more than it all put together. Mm. Which is still a very good movie.
Yeah.
That's not a criticism, by the way. That's right. Just how good every scene is.
Yeah, it's like I said, I wanted to see more of, like, Cap and Black Widow with Falcon and Scarlet Witch, what they were doing, you know, in the interim, and, you know, more with Rocket and Groot and Thor and, you know, the Guardians. And like as soon as, like, the Guardians show up, space, and then the ship comes in.
It goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, though. They do whatever they wanted as long as they got Thanos right, and they did.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing that really mattered.
I mean, with 67 characters in a movie, somebody's not going
to... Oh, no, for sure.
It's like, I'm okay with it because, I mean, honestly, if you look at Cap's role in this movie... I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that whole storyline. He didn't really do much except for save Vision and show up in Wakanda to fight along with everybody else. Because that's what he is. He's a battlefield technician.
Get them to Wakanda.
I think we're going to see a whole heap of Steve Rogers in the fourth movie.
Yeah.
Because that one's going to be about reforming the Avengers. The original Avengers are going to have to get back together, and they're going to have to quickly bury the hatchet and get to work. And I can't wait. It's gonna be great.
What'd you say?
I'm gonna have to bury the hatchet.
Stormbreaker.
The Stormbreaker.
Oh, keep that thing.
I actually like that moment when Thor basically was, he buried Stormbreaker in Thanos' chest.
Mm. I told you you were gonna die for that.
Should have aimed for the head.
That was fucking amazing.
Because I kept wondering, like, how are they going to get the snap into this? There it is. It was such a badass moment. And he's right. He could have killed Thanos. Peter Quill basically is to blame for all of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had the gauntlet.
They had it off his hand.
And then he had to go knock Mantis off Thanos' head, yeah.
How about that? Like, Mantis basically could have beaten Thanos. Or at least pacified Thanos.
She had him under submission.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. If, like, Peter had just used his fucking brain and just said, well, once we get the gauntlet off, then I can kill him.
Yeah. Which made sense, actually, because they set her up as every day she put a planet to sleep. So it made sense that, okay, she can
sleep.
Take Thanos down.
I wasn't expecting it, and I think that's why it was so cool, because I had lost track of her in the fight, because the fight on Titan was really cool.
That was very cool.
That's Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Drax.
And the Guardians,
Rocket and Groot.
And Gamora.
And Nebula was in that fight, too. All of them against Thanos. Yeah. I mean, they're getting beat, but at least they're kind of holding their own a little bit.
Yeah.
And they get so close to getting the gauntlet off of his hand.
Yeah.
And then Peter, because he's so upset about Gamora, punches Thanos and wakes him up. And then they're fucked.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Peter.
I saw a meme today where it had, like, I don't remember all the faces, but it had, like, six of the faces, and it said, thank you for trying not me to save the universe. Yeah. And not me. It was Star-Lord.
I'm seeing a lot of flaking away memes now that sort of indirectly spoil Infinity War for you.
Well, we already discussed it. It can't be spoiled for anyone. Everyone's already seen it. According to the box office, everyone's already seen it.
It was spoiled for me before I saw it. God damn it.
Yeah.
People on their Facebook need to maybe wait longer than a day to start putting spoilers out there.
That's why my two-line review. The movie was good. Thanos was great. that'll do it for Avengers. It's over. No more Marvel Universe.
It's not over.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
The next one is Ant-Man and the Wasp. That comes out in July.
Trailer tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay. And...
I'm just saying, there's a trailer dropping tomorrow. They released a new poster for it.
Oh, great.
I'm more excited about Deadpool. I think it's going to be a fun movie. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will be.
But yeah, it's supposed to take place both before and after the...
It's before and during. Good.
So that makes a little more sense. Okay. Because I like the dynamic that Evangeline Lilly and...
Yeah. No, no, it'll be good. It'll be good.
I like that scene in the trailer where he's like, I gave her wings. You gave her wings and blasters. I assume you didn't have that technology for my suit.
Oh, I did. I think it's going to be fun. I just want to see Wasp. That's all I care about. Yeah. And then I'm more looking forward to Captain Marvel now, though, like even more than I was before. Because they've set her up as the savior.
Yeah, she was I mean, that's who he went to. He didn't know what was happening. No. He didn't know that.
You know, he never called her during Avengers or Ultron.
No, but he had no idea what was happening. But he went straight for her.
Yeah,
Cold Red. Yeah. So, Ant-Man and the Wasp is in July. Captain Marvel is in March, and then Avengers 4 will be Avengers Forever will be in May of next year. Probably bumped up to the end of April.
Possibly,
which to me is almost like, it's like, wow, it wasn't enough that you had Black Panther in February, and now it's even running into this. Now you have one in March, and then put this at the end of April. Maybe what they'll do is they'll move the other international dates back, maybe to May.
Possibly.
To May 4th, 3rd, or something like that. I forget what it is. But that'll do it. And the next Marvel film in general is Deadpool, which is in 2 weeks. Yes, two weeks from now. Yes.
2 weeks.
Yeah, the week of the 18th, right? 18th?
I think that's right.
16th or 17th? Wait.
Somewhere around there.
18th, yeah, it's the 18th. And the week after that, Ham Solo.
Lando. So.
Lando the movie.
Chewbacca the movie.
Which, that's where I'm going.
Chewie the movie. No, it looks good. And that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. We'd like to thank Matt for stopping by. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Maybe you'll come and discuss.
You're welcome.
Maybe you'll come and discuss Beirut with us.
Nope.
Okay. And we'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.